This podcast is brought to you by Shout Engine. In less than 5 minutes, you can start your own podcast for free with ShoutEngine.com.
All right.
Yo-ho. Hello. Guten Afternoonen. If that's not a real thing. What's happening, people? I sound a little like crap. I sound okay?
A little
rough. I sound a little rough.
It's not that much worse.
It's been a rough few days, but I got this tea from Starbucks, which means it's basically piss with honey in it, and Spike Ferristen is in the
hello,
room.
Matt.
What's happening, buddy?
It's a pretty big slam on Starbucks.
Fuck Starbucks, bro.
It's like pepper flakes
well,
and
why
lemon.
Why are you going? So you went there so you could say this tonight?
Because between the Forza event and this office, that was the only place that I knew for sure I could find a tea.
Also, this episode of TSD brought to you by Pete's Coffee.
No, no, Beeline Coffee, the official.
Oh, yeah, that's actually
sponsor.
Beeline.
Forza, right. You're talking about downtown LA.
Yeah.
Did you see the GT2 RS?
They didn't have the car there, but we did. I did drive it virtually in Forza.
So wait, what were we seeing on Instagram?
That was the GT2 RS,
right?
But that'll be in the main.
That
hall.
Was like
we were over at the Galen
E3,
so
like,
it was there.
Yeah, it was near where we were. But not exactly
you're
where
making, and you didn't walk over there to have a look.
I don't actually know exactly where it was.
So that'd be down at the main LA conference.
Like the convention center.
Right, right.
We were at the Galen Center at USC
Is
today.
It still there right now?
I think so.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, yeah. We were at like a side party to where like media people were invited
here.
To play the game.
Because
lots
I believe they also, it was the, they had the 919 race car over there too.
They did.
Yeah, but dude, like that's what Instagram is for. Like I don't even fucking see it. When you see, I saw it on Instagram, now I've seen it. That's it.
That's true for most cars, but
unless
not for that one.
Unless you're driving it, what's the fucking difference? You see it on Instagram, you see it in person.
Well, no, that's a pretty big one.
I mean, it's cool.
We're all waiting for this car.
Of
I mean,
course.
Me and my little group of idiots.
Yeah, of course you are.
We would love to see it in person.
Okay.
It would be a bummer though if it was on a pedestal, literally, like so you can't like open. No, I mean like you can't open the door, you can't poke around. I
oh,
hate
really?
That when it's like mounted on
but
the
you
wall.
You get a better sense of what it looks like and what it you know in person. You know
oh,
what I mean?
Bro,
it's gonna look like a 911.
You know what a 911 looks like?
I thought it looked like a GT3 RS.
It'll be
that had a 2 on it.
Yeah,
looks like a GT3 RS with side scoops.
Yeah,
and you know a different front bumper.
Wait, didn't the GT3 RS already have side scoops this
oh,
time?
Actually, it does,
yeah.
Doesn't it?
Now why?
It wing
now
scoop,
what
maybe.
Is the deal? Why did they reveal it down there?
Because it's going to be the cover of Forza Motorsport 7. It's going to be the cover car.
Yeah, but these video game players can't buy that.
It's so funny you mentioned that exact phrasing because we were at this thing today testing and we spoke with Dan Greenwalt, the creative mm-hmm. director at Turn 10, who's like the guy with Forza. He's the right. guy. He's coming on our show next episode on Wednesday. He says, and he'll probably reiterate this, that the combination of the real car with mm-hmm. these video games does far more to drive sales than any commercial, than any automotive media outlet, period.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are the biggest driver of sales in sports mm-hmm. cars.
It's what drove the Evo and the WRX to fame in the U.S. I mean,
it's apparently a much closer connection than you would think.
So
that's why they're doing
13-year-old.
That's why. I do think
who's
that
just gonna make, have a spare $300,000 to get this car.
You know what the average? You know what the average Xbox buyer is now? 36.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think a lot of them are buying them for their kids, but Forza in general tends to have an older demo than other video games. Seriously, they have a.
I play these games. Yeah. I get it, but I'm not going to buy the car. I like buying cars that I would never own when I play these games.
Okay, so
I like being behind the wheel of those.
I completely agree with you. You and I like a fantasy thing with the video game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like you and I enjoy watching television of other people doing things that we can't do,
right?
Like you really like watching people prosecute
like
rapists.
Dating shows.
Yes.
Like that's exactly. We watch a lot of Law & Order this weekend.
Zach had to share a hotel room with me this weekend. I watch a lot of Law & Order.
Matt's screensaver in his brain is SVU.
Oh, all
it's
right.
It's just a great go-to in a hotel room. I can always count on USA throwing down some Law and Order.
What
but,
do you like
But
about
other
that?
People, you know, people watch. We can get back to Law and Order. Other people play video games to actually become connected with a a reality,
right?
But we don't do that. We do a fantasy thing. Other people do.
Some part of me does and some part of me doesn't. Like, we're playing a lot of card games on our Apple TV because it's out of earshot of Mom, me and my two little boys.
Uh-huh.
And we have two competing card games, and I don't know the names of them, but one has the more realistic cars, the actual cars. You have an Audi R8 or something, and the other one has crazy shit.
Yeah.
Cars that aren't real. And we all like the real stuff.
You prefer the... Yeah,
I especially prefer the real stuff.
Of course.
And then assembling this little garage and hangar full of cars on my Apple TV.
Well, doing that...
But that doesn't mean I'm going to go out and write a check based on that.
But it might. It fucking
That's
might, dude. I'm
might.
Not even kidding. These guys, the Turn 10 people, say that it does.
So this is the digital equivalent to the poster on your wall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
That's what they're saying.
Instead of the poster, you can get
We've
a pretty
guys.
Good sense of what these cars are like to drive. You can hear
what
them.
What they sound like.
What they sound like.
Yeah, what they look like inside.
Listen,
That's
if
true.
The fucking GT2 RS sounds anything like it sounded in my 10 minutes playing Forza today, it is going to sound like the end of the goddamn world.
Yes, it better.
Yeah. Unlike the regular turbo, at least in video games with headphones on, it appears to not sound like a vacuum cleaner.
No.
It sounds like a race car that also has turbos put on it.
Sledgehammer.
Yes.
It's a sledgehammer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It can
be exciting.
I mean, if it wasn't for those
Zuckerman
games,
will buy one.
I don't even think we...
Well, we're all... In fact, just a minute ago, someone, my agent from CAA said... said client is needs one. How do we get one?
also my agent.
Your agent as well. I won't tell you for who, but one of four people I've spoken to today.
Wants one.
Yeah.
Oh, I know exactly
like I'm
who.
Some gatekeeper for Porsche. I'm not. I mean, I can connect you, but I'm not going to connect you till I connect myself.
Of course not. You're going to connect yourself first, and if you don't want, send it on down the line.
Right.
I saw on your Instagram you got a GTS presser.
I did.
How'd you like it?
I really did like it. I liked it a lot.
Daily, right?
It's an amazing little daily, yeah. Did you drive the manual or the PDK?
Manual. I did not drive PDK.
See, I think that would have made it perfect for me.
The manual's
really
brilliant.
I would have loved the Lightning. The whole car was so feather light and so easy to use with new sounds and everything else. I thought the steering wheel, when you look down at it, it was very busy. All the stems.
Oh,
and the
you know, if you have the... If you get PDK, it loses the one... Or if you get manual, it loses the one knob.
Oh, the manatee?
Yeah, you don't get that. Yeah.
They call it the manatee? The Manitoba, whatever it is. I like that. I thought that was all right. But overall, you know, you probably do as well. I judge a car by how I feel the day they come to pick it up.
Yeah.
And I felt...
Will you miss it or not miss it?
I felt a little bad. Little bad. But it's not me. I'm a GT3 guy. I immediately got in my GT3 and went, this feels like home. But that's a close second. This is the car for the guy who doesn't want the wing. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Or for someone who is not a motorsports kind of guy. Like the GTS, it's got that nice turbo shove for kind of everyday use. It rides a little softer.
That's
controls
confusing
are a little
to me,
lighter.
Though. That's when I started hearing the turbos behind me when I rolled the windows down. That felt a little weird.
Yeah?
I didn't want that there.
Really?
Yeah. Because hasn't been a turbo before, this GTS.
But it's got good power, though.
It's got great power.
Great power.
You're flying around town. Flying around town.
I feel
it
like
really nice and simple and easy.
When they added the turbos, it was, to me, you know, I like the sound of turbos. It's kind of like if someone plays the ukulele at a party, I'm like, you're such an asshole. But then if like Izzy plays the ukulele, I'm like, I kind of like the ukulele now. Yeah.
I like turbo sounds when it's got the word turbo on it. That's I mean, it's
I understand.
I mean?
I just removed it. I was like, you know what? I do like turbos. I had to approach it more mathematically to enjoy it and then kind of suspend disbelief. I'm like, you know what? I do just like it.
Right.
But also, you went back to a GT3, which is an NA car that has enough power. If you went back to a Carrera, a 991 Carrera S afterwards, you'd go, God, this thing feels like it's dragging a boat anchor.
Right.
You really... No, I drove a back-to-back turbo to non-turbo.
And the steering in the GT3 is stiff, and you just... Mm-hmm. I feel like I've got a muscle pack on when I get in that car.
Yeah.
And this other car was light and quick.
The
it
manual...
It really is a perfect little thing, but, you know, we were talking about this yesterday. There's so much stuff rolling out of Porsche right now. What do you... You know, not everybody can get even one, let alone six of these things.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I don't know.
What do you get?
Well, buy the best one you can afford.
That and they're overlapping their own stuff. I mean, they put out the R, and now you can get a new GT3 in almost exactly the same spec as the R was.
Oh, anyone who paid over for an R. Wah, wah.
Yeah. 500 horsepower, right. You do a manual transmission, and then there's this rumored touring pack
yeah.
that takes the wing off and makes it look like an R.
yeah.
Anyone who paid 700 grand for an R is an idiot and really should have known better.
But Porsche guys will like want that R. But that R is going to be pretty cheap on eBay to find the R to put after the 911. Right, a magnet that you can just click, and then you've got your R.
The Honda guys seem to do it pretty easily.
Yeah. I don't know. This is where we were yesterday, where everybody were a little confused and a little upset. But Porsche has always been doing this. They've been doing it for 20 years.
What, stepping on their own toes with other models?
Yeah, and I was talking, I started a podcast.
That's why you're here, kind of.
Here, we'll get to that, I'm sure. And I was talking to Jerry yesterday about this, because he's a guy who a lot of times will do paint to sample on cars. And he ordered that GT3 RS paint to sample, and it's liquid chrome blue metallic something or other, right? But by the time that car was done, it was kind of old news. And he wanted the last one, and he got the last one, but still.
He has the last one?
The last one of that variant.
Well, of course it's fucking old news. He wanted the last one.
And I was saying, do you think about sequencing it all, and about you kind of missed the party for this car? And when you rolled it out, we were like, yeah. I saw a 911R the other day. I've seen those, but and the R's
that
had already been
so
out.
That's so funny.
Does he care about that, or does he want
to... He said, I don't care.
He just wants to have the car he wants.
To him, it was about the number and about the paint. And it's striking. It's an extraordinary
What is that? What actually? What color is that? Like,
I'm messing the name up. I know.
What does it look like?
It looks like a bluish silver, like soft blue. If you know what color Gemini blue metallic is, imagine turning the dial down on the blue till it's chromey blue.
Oh, cool. Zach, pull up Gemini blue metallic. Let's see what that looks like.
I'm sure there are pictures of the car that...
Or does Google Jerry Seinfeld?
I posted it on my Instagram.
Oh, you did? We'll look on your Instagram.
It's way down, though. It's not anything I posted yesterday.
It's funny.
The car is extraordinary, and it's beautiful. And he did aluminum or steel-colored wheels, the silver wheels. And it's the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
It's the beginning of the end of the black wheel movement.
Are we calling it? We're calling black wheels
when I
done?
I looked at that car. I went, black wheels are over.
Well, I hate to tell you,
the clean look of these silver aluminum wheels is back.
I hate to tell you because I the one thing I don't like about your GT3,
yes,
is that it's blue with black wheels.
Right,
because blue and black are clashy colors.
Right,
if you were wearing a blue shirt and black pants, like I'm not. If you
blue
were, it's a clashy color. No, it's a clash. Those are clashy colors. Oh, except
clashy?
Right here.
Yeah, you're wearing a watch. They go together really well.
I don't think they do.
I didn't spec that car out. That car came to me. I helped Auto Gallery sell it to Jerry. Jerry was drunk on a beach in Puerto Rico and said, I'll take it. And he goes, what about you? Are you getting one? And I said, yeah, but I want a fashion gray car, and I hear there's some paint to sample cars. And he went, what? And then the call broke off, and then the next day he called and he goes, I've got good news and bad news for you, my friend. I said, what is it? He goes, the good news is you just bought a blue metallic GT3. He said, what? I know, I'm getting fashion gray. He goes, no, you're not. There was only one left, and I got it.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh,
these
cold.
Guys are dicks to each
that
other.
That is cold.
It was amazing.
But then, but he
said
gives
it was on a boat to
shit.
The Porsche factory, and he had to turn the boat around. I don't know if he was serious, but yeah, it was a total dick move. But then when it arrived and it was delivered, it had steel brakes on it, which he did not know. Instead of the ceramics.
Oh, his had steel brakes?
His had steel brakes. So he got boned in the end on that one.
You'd always trade brakes.
No.
No. He ain't going to tracks anyway. What does he care? It just has to be the best, I guess. Or has to be the most.
He's happy. I'm happy. I'm very happy with that car.
Speaking of Porsche, I was in North Carolina for a gig, and I went to the Ingram Collection.
Oh,
are you
yeah.
familiar with
yeah,
the Ingram
you're
Collection?
You're becoming a Porsche guy.
I do like the cars. And I went to the Ingram Collection. I met with Rory Ingram and Cam Ingram.
Cam
runs a place called Road Scholars. That's
yeah,
a restoration.
Of course.
Went to Road Scholars. They have some shit, my
I've
friend.
I've sold them cars. They're the best.
They got the last speedster ever made. It's red. They got they had two 550 Spiders in there, mm-hmm. including one that raced at Le Mans.
So is this the dad's collection, or the is dad's this stuff collection that was for sale?
So no, it's the dad's There's collection. The one son manages the collection right. and the event space they have in the collection.
Yeah.
The other son runs the restoration shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove. They built a Cayman, wide body Cayman. Not cheesy. Sounds cheesy. Not cheesy. Incredibly high standard with mm-hmm. a 4.25 in it.
Wow.
And it was very nice. And I had a go in it. I made a video. It was very nice. But great people. They know a ton about
yeah,
Porsche.
Yeah, they're good guys. We like
and
them.
And they have the highest ever spec'd 993 Turbo S that has the all of the air conditioning knobs are covered in leather.
Yeah.
The gauges are leather. The fucking air vents are leather.
Whose car was that? Where did they get
Ingram's.
It?
Ingram's. They bought it new.
He bought it new.
He bought it new.
Because, yeah, we've heard talk, and I was talking to Pete Stout about a car that was spec'd out, but I don't think it's a 993 turbo.
It's a paint to sample.
There's another turbo that's got crate that's in New York. This guy, Cat Bob, has
That's older. That's a 930 turbo.
Right,
that
right.
Has the, that actually the has deal. Leather gauge faces.
Yeah, leather
yeah,
gauge
Yeah, it's like a
faces.
Weird brown,
right,
too, right?
Right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I've
it's
seen
insane.
That car.
That's
this car
cool.
has Same shit that car. Is like the needles are fucking wrapped in leather. It's so silly.
Well, wow. The needles what? Are made of suede. They're not yeah, effective, but it's unique.
The needles are actually cat bones. There's a cow tail
yeah.
attached to the rear end.
And the gear shift is made from Nazi
ground.
Gold.
Yeah, it's like a monkey femur gear
what
shift.
What is the obsession? You know, do you hear about people don't want that stuff anymore? They don't want animal skin in their cars anymore.
I don't mind
they want
it.
Alcantara.
I'm not a big Alcantara fan, as opposed to real leather, but. You know
what's the big deal of the leather? Who cares?
I don't give a shit. I drove a 911 GTS on
but
the launch that had no...
what does a leather instrument dial get you?
you? I don't know. You people like you give a shit. I don't
like
give
it.
A shit.
I don't care.
You and fucking Zuckerman give a shit. I don't care.
I always say to him when he points out some weird knob, I go, how does that knob feel when you're driving down the road?
You
can you feel the magnesium roof of your car?
Yeah, no, you guys.
That you're beneath it. Can you feel any of this crap, or do you just feel the car?
We have been on the porch of Bill's so many times, and you show me some fucking G-body
right.
that sells for $300,000
right.
because it's a slightly different shade of baby vomit than one that's worth $28,000.
Well, a cool paint color, yeah. Absolutely.
But still, I mean, it's the same fucking car, do you know?
Yeah.
You could repaint it. It like the fact that it was painted from the
I'm
factory.
I'm just saying, I think there are more paint guys out there than dial guys.
I mean, I agree with you. I would pay more for
leather knob guys.
Leather knob guys. But to see that shit in person is like, oh my
God,
greatest. You've got to be fucking
yes,
kidding me.
It's back, you know, when Porsche would do that. They would really go the extra mile. And you could get whatever you wanted.
They still will go pretty far.
Mm-hmm.
You can get leather-covered fuse boxes.
Yeah.
You can get paint-to-sample key, the $600.
Leather-covered fuse
boxes. Do you have paint-to-sample key?
What is that?
They
yeah,
paint the key to match the car.
I do my own in the GT3. I order the little things myself, and I put it together myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like $500 if you do it through when you order the car.
But it's not on the VIN. It's not on the window sticker. You're paying this
aftermarket now.
Who cares? Who cares?
People like you care.
They do and they
You're
don't.
You're exactly the people
who
care.
I don't know on the new stuff that people care all that much.
Wait
you know,
50 years. They'll fucking care.
I get kind of crazy. With old stuff, I like to be, you know, the historian guy, and I'll put together a nice files to go with the car moving forward, you know, my notes and anything else, just because I think that's kind of interesting for somebody. But it's, you know, whether something's on a sticker of a new car, the paint, the key, who cares?
Somebody cares, I assure you.
Maybe.
Somebody cares.
No. I care about the people who own the car. I like to hear how they use the car. That enriches
I like
my
that.
Experience.
I like the stories of that. My stupid little Lexus has a 15-page Carfax because
oh,
it
wow.
has so many owners.
What's the mileage on the car now?
960. We're getting there.
Wow.
It's on right. loan to a friend right now who has a very long commute. Dude, it's hard as shit to put 100K
it
on a
really
car
is.
That's not your primary
is
car.
Is there a car treadmill you could just leave it running?
You don't make a game and then cheat at the game. That's just a rule. You can't make up your own game and then cheat at it.
If mm-hmm. you were able to hitch that car to every press car you get, though, you'd probably knock
it
out in a year.
Yeah, maybe there's a way to start a site where people can lease it. You know?
Well, we thought about the
not,
Turo
not
thing.
Not pay, but you know what I mean?
They yeah.
just...
We thought about doing the Turo thing, which is like an Airbnb for cars.
Right.
Do we have any friends that drive Lyft?
It just ended up. It just ended up. That is what we do, Corbin.
Yeah.
But we. It just ended up. I said when I run out of friends, then we'll deal with Turo. And I haven't run out of friends yet.
Wow,
as it turns
a lot
out.
Of friends.
People. No, I don't. But people want to keep it for a month or 2 months, which is really nice because it's fucking out of sight.
And they're less
mind,
likely
you know?
To sue us.
Right. What happens if they crash?
I mean, it's covered under the Smoking Tire LLC commercial automotive. Yeah.
Wow.
It's by far the most expensive car insurance policy I've got. Commercial auto insurance is fucking expensive, man.
Yeah.
Really expensive. Wow. It's like about four times what it costs for me to insure. It costs four times to insure that car what it costs to insure all four of my other cars combined.
Wow.
Yeah, it's stupid expensive. but you know what?
It's worth it.
If it's a fucking 900,000 mile car, if someone crashes it, I don't want to. I can't have that kind of personal liability. You
right?
Know, it is
no.
what it is. That's why business is hard. So anyway, what have you been driving other than the GTS?
I've been mostly in my Speedster, my 58 Speedster.
I still gotta drive that car.
You should. I invited you many times to drive it, and then I never hear from you.
I'm sorry. I would love it. I do.
And my new Range Rover Sport, which I'm just driving all over town, which is performing wonderfully. I love that
good
truck.
Daily, those cars.
It's good everything. We really like that.
Fantastic lease.
Supercharged 6?
No, I don't like fast SUVs. I don't like high-powered SUVs.
So what is yours?
Land Rover was nice to give me this SVR for a week, the Range Rover Sport SVR, which was insane.
Yeah.
And really fun.
Yeah.
Which is not something I could ever own.
You can only drive it like a total cockbag.
Yeah. And it's the way I like to drive my car. I don't want my trucks to do that. I want my cars to do that. When I'm in that thing, I need calm and peace and
I completely
quiet.
Understand.
I've got kids and bikes on the back. And you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I don't get all these high horsepower trucks. I don't know who they're for.
Well, and they eat fuel at an annoying pace.
Yeah.
It's not like the fuel economy is any better or worse than some of the sports cars we drive, but when you're trying to do things around town, stop every day for gas gets old.
And I'm getting the McLaren 570 GT Friday.
Oh, those are probably the same blue one I had, which was great.
I don't know. John, my business partner, had it last week, and it was a purple one.
Oh, maybe they cycled it out.
Our agent had a black one. So
oh, I guess
I don't know which
one, more than one
I'm getting. I hope I get
it
the purple one.
It is a lovely, lovely car. And in fact, I prefer the GT to the S.
Why?
Glass roof is awesome. The S has the lightweight stereo, which the car's so fucking fast. You know, who gives a the GT has the really good, like, 12-speaker Harman Kardon awesome stereo.
GT rear glass opens up, too, so you can
And the GT, the GT foregoes a carbon engine cover for a rear the rear window opens up like a hatch, so you can put some stuff in there.
Oh, yeah.
It was great.
Nice looking.
Great car. Great car. Really, really good.
I drove it in New York. It's just
go for like 5 minutes,
different,
right?
I can't really tell anything about a car in New York because I don't drive there all the time.
You could actually tell that the ride
relaxed.
You could tell that the ride is very good.
Yeah,
the streets are terrible.
It was like the middle of the week, and I drove it down into Midtown, and it was perfection.
Yeah,
it was so easy.
Yeah,
which
the geometries
amazing.
Are super good on that car,
right.
And so it rides unbelievably well.
You know, I met a guy out of Bill's yesterday. Frank Stevenson?
Oh, who designed it.
Yeah,
A guy, just a guy.
And he designed the P1 as well. And there was
he just there?
Out there? He was there to come see us do this podcast.
Oh, you're doing a studio audience thing?
People showed up. It's, well, because this is probably a good time to talk about
about the podcast.
Explain, but I've got this new Podcast One show. You guys are on Podcast One.
Not anymore.
Right?
Not
anymore?
They booted you. No, I booted them. I did. I terminated.
You terminated.
Yeah, right. I did.
Well, I'm there now.
It's fine.
And I'm doing this, you know. We have breakfast all the time on the patio at Bill's.
Malibu Kitchen and Gourmet. The Malibu Country Mart.
And we drive cars. Sometimes we're in the canyon, sometimes we're not. But we like to sit there, Matt and I, Seinfeld and I, our friend Paul Zuckerman, lots of folks, and just talk about the cars we drove and then get on with our weekend, right?
We get deli meat plates delivered when we sit there.
I spend a lot of time there. That's
kind
delightful.
It's kind of our golf. And Bill's a great guy, and he makes amazing food and whatever. I've been doing that for maybe 15 years, maybe even 20 years at this point, for a very, very long time. And you know, when we started Car Matchmaker and I started doing all this car stuff, it was suggested to me I should get a podcast. And I come do yours. Yours is pretty much the only one I would even come on. But I didn't really have an idea of what to do until I think last year I was with Jerry in New York, and he said, you know what, it's not a podcast, it's a Porchcast. He just made some little offhanded joke comment about it. And I thought, well, that's the idea. Why don't I, since we're, you know, all Instagramming this porch experience all the time, why don't I leave an empty seat open for the listener, and anybody who can't get out to Malibu once a week can kind of hear us talk about cars and whatever else we end up talking about.
And good idea. Well, I remember being like, well, why do you want to do it, like, actually on the porch? But you specifically said you wanted, like, things to be going on in the background.
Yeah. No. Well, one, I want to monetize breakfast. That's the first thing.
You can expense breakfast.
How do I get paid to eat on the weekend? So when I leave the house, my wife goes, I can say to her, I'm going to work, honey, because a lot of times I can't go. But it was really Marc Maron interviewing Louis C.K., and I was driving back from Monterey last summer from Car Week. He was interviewing Louis C.K., and suddenly there was a doorbell ring. And then he just got up, left the podcast, and Louis goes, where are you going? He goes, one second, just keep talking. It's a UPS guy. And then in the background, you hear Maron talking to the UPS guy, and then Louis's like, I'm alone now. Okay. I'm going to play Mark's guitar. And he's just fooling around, and the whole thing blew me away. Just that ambient, that little situation reminded me of when Letterman, in one of his early shows, drilled a hole in his desk for about 20 minutes to put the microphone wire
through
it.
You told me that story, and I went on YouTube and found it.
Yeah.
And it is actually hilarious.
It's great. And
I didn't understand it when you told me.
He's just annoyed that the wire's going over the desk, and he wants it to go through. So in the show,
he goes, give me a drill.
He gets a drill. He drills a hole. He unplugs the wire, and then he puts the wire through the desk. And that stuff has always been really entertaining to me. And, you know, now on Bill's porch, I don't know if this is going to work. We're out there all the time, and we're entertained by people parking,
people driving by,
getting crashes, the great cars that come through, the great people we meet. You know, and I thought, well, maybe that'll be worth listening to. Maybe it won't. So
it seems like it could provide a nice constant stream of, you know, setups and material and whatnot.
I was literally worried about the audio quality of recording. Have you listened to it back yet?
We're going to hear on this first one. It's launching Wednesday, which I believe is the 14th on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
Who's on it?
There was a lot of, I'll tell you right now, Jerry's in the first one and Paul Zuckerman. They're the original crew. And there was a ton of noise. There were a lot of, we had a
they're
lot
doing
of cars
construction
show up.
Right there.
There were horses. There was a lady with a horse.
The horse always
felt the need to walk up the ramp to
fuck
right
off.
Where we
up
were sitting.
Up the ramp?
Up the ramp.
What?
And talk loudly for about 15 minutes. There were Porsches
the
right
usually
over
stops
the rail.
In the parking spaces.
It was insane. And a lot of guys with like straight pipe mufflers and things starting up middle of conversation. So the guys are telling me the mics won't pick it up. And it won't be so bad, but maybe it will be, and you'll have to deal with it. But I always find that stuff interesting.
As long as you can, like, hear okay. It depends on the mic, you know. Whoever you've got recording it, I'm sure knows what they're doing.
We don't wear headphones. This is such a professional operation compared to what we're doing. There's a little walkie-talkie with four microphones sticking out of it. And we'll see what happens.
I mean, we've been recording from the show floor at SEMA for the last 4 or 5 years. And you can, if you can manage doing SEMA, you can probably manage doing the parking lot.
Right. They don't have horses at SEMA.
Are you worried at all about people, you know, coming up on the table while you're recording, saying, "Oh my God, are you Spike? Are you Jerry?" And that kind of thing.
Well, there's a shop that went out of business to the left of the patio there called Yoga Shmoga. Was called Yoga Shmoga. So
wonder why that didn't work.
it was Profit Schmoffins
right across the way. But Bill put up a little stanchion up, and there were a lot of people there, and it was nice to see and also disconcerting.
Did TMZ roll up?
No, they didn't. That was great. We
I'm
did Jerry out there, and then right after Jerry, I did Jeremy Piven.
Did he ever end up buying anything?
No, we talked about that. He's tricky. He's looking for, by the way, if your listeners have it, he wants an early 911, ideally 69 to 73. Price range is about 100K or less. And I think color is going to be important. I think if you had a Conda green, a tangerine, or a Signal orange, that would be a home run if it were Targa in that neighborhood.
There's a really nice blue Targa, 73S Targa on Bring a Trailer right now.
And blue would be perfect.
Well, it's on Bring a Trailer right now.
He's going to want to drive it, though.
Spike took me
Randy
to Jeremy
Nonnenberg
Piven's house,
going to drive it down,
which was a really interesting experience. He was
you and I went there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
He was doing yoga. Spike goes, we're sitting at Bill's, and he gets a text, goes, ding, goes, you want to go to Jeremy Piven's house? And I go, yeah, I absolutely do. And we went over there, and he answers the door, and he's like, oh, sorry, I was just doing some yoga. It was exactly what you would expect Jeremy Piven to be doing. And there was like three hot chicks in his kitchen and someone making them breakfast. And he lived right on the beach. He has this old Bronco that is his only car. His only car is like a 72 Bronco.
We talked about that. Wow. He's been driving it for a long time. I remember seeing it before I even knew who he was. I remember seeing him drive it around Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then, you
that's
know,
awesome.
They would go, oh, that's the guy from Larry Sanders.
And we had
very cool. And now he's into getting an early 9/11.
We had an interesting conversation.
He's doing it the right way. He's taking his time and he's waiting for that right one to kind of drop in his lap. And he's not just going to buy anyone. So
he was really weirded out because the guy who was making those girls breakfast was like, holy shit, Matt Farah from The Smoking Tire.
Oh,
and Jerry
Pinto
was like, who the fuck is this guy? It was really, really kind of funny. He looked at me super weird.
About that.
Yeah, it
doesn't
really
matter how famous him and Favreau are, though. They're always going to be the PCU guys to me.
Well,
great movie.
His cadence, I mean, every character in every role he does is so dependent on like how he speaks. Yeah. And he couldn't have been nicer, but he speaks like that, and so he just really draws you into that.
He's very
that character.
He's very really nice, really smart. He was telling us, and you'll hear this on the podcast. I think this will be our third one that we roll out. But he was telling us about how he grew up in an old age home. His parents didn't have money. They were theater people, and they could only afford to get a room in this old age home. I mean, it's just these amazing stories. Told a great story about auditioning for Seinfeld and never having seen the show.
Oh, yeah, because he played George in the show within the show.
Yeah, you got to hear it. It's good stuff.
I actually think he told us that story on his back porch.
He did.
Yeah,
he did. And he remembered to tell it again. I know, it's cool.
Really weird hearing meeting Hollywood people and hearing them tell Hollywood stories. It's really for me.
Yeah, the one thing
it's
I mean, the
it's
one
like,
thing
so,
I've heard a lot of them. The one thing is, it seems like it's the same for everybody. It's a rough, brutal business, and it's entertaining, and we love it, and it's the same for everybody.
Yeah,
yeah.
I just read a funny story because Adam West died, and it was Adam West and the guy that played. The Riddler got invited to a party. They were at something else. They didn't know what was happening. They had a phone call. And it was like, hey, you should come to this party up in the hills. And they were like, oh, okay. Like, we'll go. And they walked in, and it was a fucking orgy. And they didn't know it was going to be. And Adam West, he said they just started laughing. He's like, we got the hard giggles, and we didn't know what to do. So they just started playing Batman and Riddler and like doing characters, and they got
in
thrown
an
out.
Orgy?
They got thrown out.
You can't do material at an orgy. What's the world coming?
One of my first writing gigs. I don't know if it was the first or not. Was with Adam West. I was a writer's assistant at Saturday Live or something, and they called me up. And they said, "Do you want to write a thing for Adam West at Nickelodeon?" It was a Nickelodeon project, and I said, "Absolutely, I want to do that." And I don't even remember what the thing was. But a few days later, I'm sitting at a table with Adam West by myself at Nickelodeon talking through this special that we were doing about something that I don't even recall. And he, you know, we're chatting and he's not really listening. And then he says, you know what, I got to apologize. I'm a little upset about this new Batman movie. Did you hear they're making a Batman movie?
Are we talking about 89 Michael Keaton Batman? Is that what we're talking about? The first Tim Burton Batman with Michael Keaton?
That would be it.
Yeah.
Right?
And this
that
is pre-production.
Exactly line
so.
Up, right? 89, because I started on Letterman in 90. So that you're exactly right. And I said, well, what are you upset about? And he goes, well, they haven't asked me to be in it.
And how old is he at this point?
He's just like, if you in that moment, you knew there was no way Adam West was going to be in this. But he was genuinely upset that they hadn't, you know, culture had not arrived at this idea yet, which is it'd be really cool for him to be
in
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Eventually it gets there, but it's just not there
what
yet.
What would have been cool was for him to be like Alfred.
Right.
You know, or some other.
Or just a little appearance.
Right.
A guy on a sidewalk who drops a.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give him the Stan Lee type role, right?
But he just went on and on for like a half an hour, and I was in heaven. I was in heaven. I was like, tell me more, Adam West. And then he, you know, went on to do everything that I wrote for him. And it was, you know, it's just one of those guys you remember. It's just great. Just
that's awesome.
Really great to a guy who's, this is probably his first or second writing gig.
How old were you? You're not that old. How old were you?
No, I don't know. I have no idea. However old I am in 89.
So, oh boy.
So I don't line up ages to jobs. You're going to make me do that.
20 years ago.
Longer, right?
Almost 30.
22 years ago.
Yeah, 22 years ago. So that
Is
would
that right?
mean. Yeah.
No, that would have
no,
been.
No, it's almost 30 years ago.
30 years ago.
Holy shit. 30
yeah,
years
look
ago.
Look at that.
Fuck me. My math.
28 years back.
It's been a, long, it's
so
been 20, a really
let's
long
just say
day.
28, right? That, does that line up?
Wow.
52 right now. So you do your own math.
Spike is a good 52.
Thank you. Well,
I'm going to be haggard as fuck by the time I'm your age. It's not going well for me.
Just
bald and gray, and you color your hair.
I'm thinking of a certain.
I don't color my hair. I have a lot of hair accusations. I'll tell you why my hair isn't gray yet, but it will be soon. I watched this happen with my brother Wally, who's not taking care of himself in any way. You know, I take care of myself.
I know you do. You don't drink. You don't
smoke
do drugs.
I smoke a couple cigars. I don't do drugs, but I exercise and I eat right. I didn't start that until I was 38. Wally, my brother, is just going nuts. If you're listening, Wally, you got to do something. I don't even think he's worked out once in his life, and he's 51. But I noticed he turned gray when he had kids, and those kids turned about 10. Like, I think there's some biological clock that suddenly, boom, when your kids are 9 or 10, you go gray.
That happened with my parents, too. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised to find out it's like a stress-related thing.
Maybe.
But or then again, how do you explain me?
You don't look old.
I'm gray. I'm really gray. Super
You're
gray.
You're a silver foxy Henderson Cooper gray.
I would not say that, but I'd say it's not gone
but,
well.
But, you know, you've just made some lifestyle changes. Things might change for you all of a sudden.
It might.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be healthy.
Yeah.
Zach and I did a pretty good job, even at a racetrack all weekend, aside from drinking, which we did do every night.
Uh-huh.
Aside from drinking, we ate really good for being at a racetrack all weekend.
Well, and we worked out.
And we exercised. We exercised every day at the hotel.
In a room. Wow, that's rare.
A workout room a third the size of this one.
Wow,
you're
committed, dude.
You have to. You got. There's no fucking way.
Was this the thing you had on Instagram that was like the
Grid Life?
What is that?
Grid Life Motorsports and Music Festival.
I want to go to that.
You absolutely should.
Yeah.
You would stick out like a fucking sore thumb, but you would have so much to talk about later.
The Jewishness, is that what you mean?
No,
the Irishness?
It's such a...
The refinement that you possess.
The refinement that you enjoy.
I can slum it.
Believe me. That's refined.
You are in a tuxedo right now compared
it's
to
a James
the,
person.
There were people there weren't wearing shirts, and it's because they probably didn't own them.
Yeah.
But there's all walks.
I thought it was so cool. Everything they were doing was really cool.
It's my favorite event of the year. Grid Life Motorsports and Music Festival. So it's a track day. It's a time attack. It's a drift event during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then at night, it's a music festival and a fucking party.
And most notably, there were women there.
There are women there, which is unique in pretty much motorsports.
It's unique,
and
right.
There are some women who participate in motorsport who are there. There was quite a few female drivers, and that's always nice to see. It's good. And there were women there for the music portion of it. So, I mean, imagine a track day. Imagine going to Willow Springs or something, any track day. And there's 250 track cars, but then there's 8,000 people. 8,000 fucking people at this thing. So there are people everywhere. The tent city camping area, you know, is properly like a festival shit show. And there's spectators for the track. So it's really wild.
Why are there girls there?
For the music, mostly.
For the music.
For the music and to be like doing a camping festival scene thing. Yeah.
Or because their car nerd boyfriends dragged them
there. Or because their car nerd, exactly.
Right.
So we saw a lot of, you know, hand holding.
This isn't like the Juggalos or anything like that.
No, but I guarantee there was a few Juggalos there.
There's some crossover for
They've got their own encampment on the corner.
But,
I mean, if you were into cars, you know, and you're 18, well, to like 35, but like 18 to 28 especially, you would absolutely go to this.
Cause you
can
I'm so going.
Party drive.
Like, honestly, there's one in Atlanta in August, last week in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm going, and if you would like to join as my guest.
What are the dates?
It's the last weekend in August. I think it's like the 25th to 28th.
My family wants to go to Italy, but this sounds better.
You send them to Italy. So in Atlanta.
Can I bring a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old?
This one, which was at Ginderman, I saw some kids there actually. It was like EDM, like electronic music.
Yeah, I liked it.
So in Atlanta, there's something 15,000 tickets that Road Atlanta and Ludacris is headlining.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I am really excited for that one. I can't wait to see the different crowds. But like, I did this thing. So I go to like, I'm the commentator, right, mm-hmm. for the Time Attack sessions. It's a lot of talking, and mm-hmm. it's a lot of only mildly interesting talking. And so to try something new, I got an M3 press car from BMW. I was like, I'm going to field correspondent this from the Time Attack session. So I got in the M3, called Zach over Bluetooth, and went out in the fucking race and commentated the race from in the race over Bluetooth.
Wow.
Which was a great, great idea.
While you're competing?
Time Attack.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. While racing.
So what did it sound like? Were you breathless or were you calm?
I don't know.
No, it's totally good.
He can tell you. I couldn't hear. I was in the car.
You had like windows up, right?
Or yeah, windows up, air conditioning cranked. No. The M3 is a beast.
He sounded like now, but with a little more energy. And then it was funny because he's trying to get out of the way of these people that are running Time Attack.
There's people who are serious, and I'm like playing, like drifting corners and being like, this Acura just went off, and oh, here's a guy coming up, and I'm going to let him by, give him a point by. Like, he either just gave me a point by or the finger. I'm not really sure. God. People That's who take fun. It seriously, it and then me just playing.
Are you at all, do you get worried when you see a crash like this happen on Grand Tour?
Oh,
so
my
you're flying
God.
Around a track?
I'll tell you what I'm worried about is that we were supposed to film that car next week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We have to reschedule some things.
What? I just was watching the video. It just got posted a little while ago, a clearer video. And
oh, was there a better video? I saw
better,
the shit
yeah.
video.
This afternoon, I was going over it. As best I could. What do you think happened there? Is there something wrong with the engineering in the car?
I think so. My boss JF has ridden in that car once, and he said it was the scariest thing he's been in since a Veyron, which is 12 years ago. It looks like if you get on the gas too long in that car, that was a really narrow hill climb,
right?
With no rail. I mean, I think you could overcook that corner by holding it down a tenth of a second.
Wasn't that thing all electric?
It's 1,100 horsepower and electric. Have you driven a Tesla 100D?
Yeah.
Have you gone?
You and I did in Detroit.
Have you really gone? Ludicrous oh, was that a 90 mode. Or a 100? I don't remember. That might have been a 90. The 100 is even faster. It is deeply uncomfortable to accelerate at full throttle
right.
in one of those cars.
Yeah.
You know what
it
I mean?
It made my eyeballs vibrate.
And, yeah.
But this car, when I'm looking at this, it looked like it didn't even grab on this turn in any way.
True.
Almost as if it were too long or something.
I don't know. It's hard to armchair quarterback this one because I don't know where the second
He's
video
carrying
is from.
A ton of speed.
It's real fast.
It's the same angle that they originally released.
It's just a better quality video.
Yeah, it's just better quality.
Maybe it was just overconfidence at
it's
that point,
It's a scary
too.
Crash.
Yeah.
I'm really glad he's okay because the car was toast.
The car rolled, and then what happened? It caught fire? The batteries?
He basically sailed it off a cliff.
Right.
And it crashed, rolled, and then caught fire.
But doesn't that start you thinking as a guy who's in the car TV business? Do you ever worry about this stuff?
100%, dude. 100%. That's why I can't go for those racetrack race car guys that go for every 10th. Like, I can't do that.
Right.
I think about crashing.
Or
I
just
do.
Crashing like that for someone's entertainment? That's the where I might draw the line.
Well,
or
and we're also
for a TV show.
I bet you he wasn't doing what he was doing for someone's entertainment.
I bet
you it was the last run of the day. It's always the last run of the day.
Right.
He wanted to go quick.
Right.
He's in the car. He's done enough TV that he knows what he's. I'm not saying he's perfect, but he knows. What is for entertainment and what is for him? It's the last run of the day. He wants to go quick.
Maybe.
Same thing. Remember that gentleman, VR Alexander, a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
BBI Porsche, Virginia City Hill Climb. One last run at the end of the day. Sailed that fucker off a cliff and through a building and died.
Oh.
That last run of the day, man, is that one will get you.
And I don't think it's coincidence here that Hammond seems to be the one that has major wreck after major wreck on that show.
I was talking about this today because I think the dragster was not his fault. They figured out it was
no,
like
that
a
one
did,
clearly
up.
Wasn't. But
so it's like that's like half of
I'm
his.
I'm not
accidents.
Talking about it's not skill. I don't know. For when looking at it, my stupid judgment, my opinion is something's wrong with the car. I'm just saying, like when I see Leno rolling in that tin can dragster, ooh,
that was a really
and
bad
I see
idea.
These, you can't help but go. I do dumb TV shows with cars too. I don't want this to happen to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just.
I think for the most part. Rein myself in pretty good. I'm pretty conservative. I got scared the other day.
You are good.
When I got properly scared.
Doing what?
VIR in a heavy, heavy rain.
Uh-huh.
And I was not driving, actually. I was Lee Keen was driving. who is a phenomenal driver, has a video on YouTube called Rain Dance, in which he is in the Nürburgring in a 997 RSR, and the race is about to be red flagged for rain. It's brutally raining at the Nürburgring, and he passes, I think, 13 cars in one lap. And this guy can fucking wheel. And he is, and we're in the Camaro ZL1 1LE, which is a 650 horsepower Camaro with fucking downforce and basically slick tires. And he is comfortable. He is fine. I'd never been there before, so he's showing me the track. He is comfortable saying things like, there's nothing to hit here, there's no walls, don't worry. And all I can see are walls, and all I can feel is the car moving around and him cutting corners in dirt and puddles and shit. And I was legitimately scared.
Yeah, yeah.
And there weren't even cameras on. There was no cameras. This was an orientation lab, and I had to tell him to stop.
Yeah,
it later dried out.
You don't
and everything
watch
was
the
fine,
YouTube videos?
I get
you
scared.
You see what happens?
We all get
catch
scared.
Catch an edge, you roll. Yeah,
totally. The one with Leno was hilarious because the person driving the car made such a bad decision.
I hear that car's rebuilt now.
Good for him.
It's back to new.
I was impressed. 81. I was impressed when Magnus had that little whoopsie. How fast he rebuilt his car?
No, Jay's is amazing that you can tell he's keeping his arm from going out the window so it doesn't break off. You know, he really kept it together and did really well.
But he's cool as ice, man.
Yeah,
Jay, there's not a lot. You ever see him like phased? I've never seen Jay Leno phased.
I don't know him well, but he's been phased.
Everybody's been amazed phased. At the fact that he fucking remembers who
I was with him in NAMM and he was cool as a cucumber.
He might be afraid of spiders or something. We just don't know.
All right, so we're break
it's about
time.
Break time. Yeah. As we go into break, Spike's Car Radio is the name of the podcast. Spike's sticking around for the second half of the show, but Spike's Car Radio, it's going to be on Podcast One and on iTunes
and Apple Podcasts. That's right,
Apple Podcasts.
PodcastOne.com app.
Episode one is Seinfeld. Episode two is Piven.
No, Chris Hardwick.
Oh,
Chris Hardwick.
Hold on, you got
out.
Hardwick to come talk cars.
You're doing a good guess.
I don't know that
when
I'm going
to
talk only cars. You know me.
When do I get to
I've
be a
I've got
guest?
One foot in the car world and one in the entertainment world. So
you also this show's going down the watch.
If I had remembered
too.
And not been such an idiot that you and I went to Piven's house, you would have been sitting there right with me doing Piven. So
that's
we
okay.
could have talked about that.
I'll
thing.
Do another show.
Yeah, anytime.
I was out of town anyway.
Right.
When I saw on Instagram, we were out of town at Grid Life, you were jealous of me being at Grid Life, and I was like, fuck, he's on the porch with Jerry talking cars? I've had a few lucky
yes,
enough to be
have.
Part of those,
you've
and,
had many
and
private
they
ones.
Are as wonderful as you can imagine. Jerry is so fucking cool, as long as you get the intro. You pre-screened me, so I get like a pass.
Yes, don't be a guy who comes up and asks for a hug.
that fucking video. Oh my God, the video.
Well, everybody's doing it now because of the Kesha video.
The video
it's
of
the
Kesha.
Very first thing I asked him about when we sat down, so you'll hear Jerry's perspective on it.
That was.
But I have to be honest with you, I've seen many, many encounters like that in my life with Jerry.
I will say
it's
a good line.
And he's a very, very polite person, and it's just, but...
Well, dude, you realize when you hang out with someone like that for 5 minutes, the level of shit they have to deal with on a daily basis.
I honestly don't think he minds it. I think that was just a timing issue. But, you know,
you'll
hear it. He gets it. He gets into it. And the politeness of society's etiquettes. And that's the type of guy he is.
Well, it happens. You know, I'm very like big fish, small pond.
Mm-hmm.
So at Grid Life, I was like that. You know what I mean? Where you can't walk like 10 feet without someone.
Oh,
and everybody is just ridiculously nice. They're all super nice.
But it's hard to go from point A to point B.
Everyone wants 30 seconds.
Everybody wants a picture.
Everyone wants a picture. And which is great. And like you're so happy that they love what you do.
Right.
It means you're working. It means whatever you're doing is working.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're like, man, I really have to piss, and the bathroom is right there. And some, you know, the 12th person wants a picture on the way to the bathroom, or you have to go announce, or they're calling your run group or something. It's like, I don't want to be a dick, but God, I got to fucking go, man.
You're already standing there waiting for the flow to start, and the guy to be like, hey, remember that video you did with that Celica? Like, he's pissing next to you, and you're like, not right now, man.
The only thing, the one that I'm sure Jerry deals with and that I had to deal with that I think is a real douche move is to roll up and just start a conversation with a video camera rolling. That's a real douche move.
I don't know. I haven't seen that.
That happened a lot over the weekend where they would roll up and be holding a camera. And I go, do you want a picture? And he goes, no, no, I'm already shooting video.
Yeah.
They really, someone who was very drunk, when we got to the, I'll tell this, my perspective of this story in case this video ever comes out. And if I was the person who shot this video, and then we'll go to break. If I was the person who shot this video, I would never air it because it makes this guy look really bad. But Zach and I are driving in the M3. We arrived to the track for the evening's festivities. Mm-hmm. We had left the track and gone to dinner and gone to work out, and now we're coming back to the track. So the sun is going down. People who had not left the track were already kind of drunk. The second they shut the track down, drinks are out, okay? So we roll up to the track, and we're driving slowly through the paddock. And someone comes up on a skateboard and skitches. You know what skitching is?
No.
It's where you're on a skateboard and you grab a ride on a car.
Right.
I.e. Okay. Back to the Future. That's skitching, right? So my window is down, and this guy grabs my A-pillar and goes, Matt Farah! Because that's what they always do. Matt Farah! And he's holding a GoPro, and it's recording. And he goes, Matt Farah, I'm going to skitch in your car. And I'm like, okay, buddy, whatever. He's like, I'm skitching on Matt Farah's car. And then I'm like, okay. And after 20 or 30 seconds, he's continuing. And he,
by the way, he's like college freshman drunk at this point. Drunk. You know, like midnight college freshman drunk.
Yeah.
This is why you have insurance.
And the camera moves from the outside of the car, and he starts moving the camera into the car. So now he's grabbing on the B-pillar. And I'm driving 5 miles an hour, and he now has this camera, like, basically in front of the steering wheel, right in my face.
Right, right.
And he's, like, saying dumb shit to me. Like, I don't think he's trying to piss me off, but he's clearly pissing me off.
Right.
So I start, like, getting the car kind of close to stuff. You know, to try and get him to, like, let go. And I don't actually hit and run him into anything. But I get him kind of close to some people.
This is an Indiana Jones now.
And a pole and some things. Yeah.
He's on the front of the car. He's looking himself underneath.
And he's hanging on there. And that camera just gets further and further into the car. But you're on video. Like, what do you fucking do?
Right.
So after, I mean, it must have been 60 seconds or, I mean, it was a full lap of the paddock. I finally have just had it with this guy. I look over and I go, Zach, watch this, and stand on the brake pedal, and he goes flying. Oh,
that's so.
And Zach was like, "Dude, you shouldn't have done that." And he's like, "You know."
Hey, well, that's a video I want to see.
I hope he releases the video.
The video.
I hope he does.
Send it to me, and I'll put it on my site.
And the guy was fine. He stood up in that drunk triumph where he was just like, "I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm okay." And then he proceeded to follow us into our friend's RV and then just linger longer, and it was no bueno. Anyway, that's the story. Okay, we'll be back after this break with more with a Spike of Ferristin.
Talk about Amsoil. Many drivers today are looking to move beyond stock performance. Amsoil brings that spirit to the engineering of their synthetic motor oil, combining top-tier synthetic technology with unique additives. The result is an oil capable of protecting your engine up to 25,000 miles or 1 year in between oil changes. Amsoil synthetic motor oil shields your engine from two of the biggest bumps in the road, wear and deposits. Wear on pistons and cams can lead to a host of issues, including loss of power. Amsoil provides 75% more engine protection against horsepower loss and wear than required by an industry standard. Deposits on rings and pistons can lead to compression loss, compromising fuel economy and power. Amsoil synthetic motor oil delivers piston cleanliness 93% above an industry standard. And the proof isn't just academic. Amsoil tests in the field and on the track in extreme conditions and using the most demanding high-performance engines available. Check out amsoil.com/smokingtire for more information. Amsoil, devoted to protection. Of course, Harry's Razors is back in the game. You know, Father's Day is just around the corner, and dads are impossible to shop for. How do you find something that feels special but that it'll actually use? You're always waiting till the last minute. Fortunately, your friends at Harry's have you covered with a special offer that you're going to love and the dad will too. Get $5 off one of their shave sets, including the limited edition Father's Day set at harrys.com/tire. I have been using Harry's razors for years, and I keep my head and my face looking great with the 5-blade and the rubberized feel cartridge, or the rubberized handle. I love this stuff. I use it in the shower, and it gets me nice and smooth. It's brilliant. Please check out harrys.com/tire, and you get two Harry's razor sets, right? Go to the harrys.com/tire. Get one for yourself to try it. Give one to your dad. I love this stuff. And it's German-crafted blades, flexible handle, lubricating strip, and you get a full refund if you're not happy. It's half the price of these blades at the drugstore. And the limited edition Father's Day set comes with a storm gray razor handle, a chrome razor stand, foaming shave gel, three replacement blades, and a travel cover. It's perfect for your dad on Father's Day, and it comes in a sleek, giftable box with the option to add a custom engraving and a personalized card for free. Go to harrys.com/tire to redeem this special offer for fans of the show. That's $5 off a shave set for the Father's Day set, and then another one for you, harrys.com/tire. Let's talk about Dylan Optics, the official eyewear sponsor of the Smoking Tire. You know those cool glasses you see me wearing in all the videos with the matte finish lenses? Those are Dylan Optics, and they don't just look cool. They are the highest functioning sunglasses that I have ever used. I spend a lot of time behind the wheel of a car in the hot, direct California sun out in the desert, and if I didn't have my Dylan Optics sunglasses, I swear, man, if I didn't have these glasses, I would really be in trouble. My eyes, anytime I don't have them, my eyes just hurt at the end of the day. But the double polarized NIR lens technology gives you the clearest image. It's like looking at HD life. And if you're out in the sun all day, if you're working, if you're driving, these things really, really keep your eyes in good shape. Go to thesmokingtire.com and then click on the partners tab. You see Dylan right there? Go down to that Dylan banner, and if you use that link on thesmokingtire.com, I will send you a free Smoking Tire t-shirt as a thank you for supporting the people who support us. Last but not least, Forza Motorsports 7. I don't have a script for this one, so I'm going to freeform it. I just went to E3, and I got to play Forza Motorsports 7 on the all-new Xbox One X. It's in 4K. It has HDR. This game is beautiful. I played it with headphones on, with the controller. I drove the GT2 RS, which sounds amazing. I hope the real car sounds this good. And it is fast. There's new tracks. I got to play on the new Dubai circuit, which actually had some recognizable areas that I've driven on in real life. Very cool. And I played their new Formula trucks. And I mean, I'm talking about those semi-trucks they race in, like, Brazil. That was super, super fun. Drove Mugello circuit in a Formula truck, and it just kicked ass. This game is going to be awesome. There's, like, 700 cars. There's new tracks. It's all in 4K. It's in HDR. And the controllers, I didn't play with a wheel, I only played with a controller, but the controllers, the triggers for gas and brake have really neat force feedback with ABS and curbing. It feels great, it looks great, the car, it's fun, and I really dig it. You can pre-order now at, what is it, ForzaMotorsport.net or Xbox.com/Forza. And Forza Motorsport 7 is the official racing simulator of the Smoking Tire podcast.
All right, now we're rolling.
Oh, we are rolling. All right. Back in the game. We're here again. What else do we want to talk about? I've been trying to avoid talking about watches this show because we did a bunch of watches recently, but Spike is the person who kind of got me into the watches a bit.
People get mad when you talk about watches and they're car people, right?
No, some people are really interested in it, and other people are like, come on, you have a car show. And I'm like, actually, we have a show about any fucking thing we like.
You ever get John Ward on the subject?
John Ward? Yeah, he's always posting watch watches. They're very closely related.
The mechanical movements and all that kind of stuff.
Watches and motorsports back in the 70s, in the 60s.
Goes hand in hand.
Yeah, you win the Daytona 500, you get a watch,
yes,
right?
Yes. Although I hear they've been giving out, like, ugly Daytonas recently. It's like the white and gold ones that, like, nobody wants to wear.
Right.
If you win the race. Lee Keen won one.
They are doing
when
that.
When I saw him last week, and he was like, yeah, but they gave me, like, a really ugly spec one.
So when I pitched some version of, and it was a very soft pitch over drinks with the Esquire people, I said, what about a watch show, watch maker? You know, I help find watches for people. And the guy went, it was Matt Hanna. You know Matt Hanna?
Yeah.
He was really funny. He laughed. He goes, you know, you can't really test drive a watch, Spike.
You can't. No, you can't. It's true.
That's really true. That is a really good observation. And I think what gets us all is on the internet, they're always big on the screen like the car is. They're the same size.
Yeah.
And you react to it, right?
Yeah.
But then in person, who cares?
Instagram is a perfect watch medium.
It really is.
Perfect.
But do you find that, and this also happens with cars, but really happens with watches, that I would rather, if you and I had the exact same watch on, which we do, we have that new Rolex GMT blue black.
You got me convinced to buy this
one. I would rather look at it right now on your wrist than see it down on my wrist. It's more attractive on somebody else's
wrist. I'll
tell
you what.
A little bit of distance.
I completely agree
with you. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. And now that I'm into this, I look at everyone's fucking wrist. Everybody's. Ooh, what's that? Ooh, what's that? What do you got? What do you got? What's that?
But I just, even if I have the same watch, I enjoy seeing it close to me on somebody else's wrist rather than on mine.
I really enjoy wearing them. I like taking one out of the thing and winding it up and putting it,
Yeah, it's another dumb thing to do before you go for a drive. As long as you have plenty of those things. What hat am I wearing? What sneakers? Yeah. What watch? What
and
car?
And it's good to match them. I'm spreading the colors out so I get a nice... but that's why...
The height of stupidity, but it's still really fun.
It's really fun, and you can fit a lot of them in a very small place.
That's another thing. You can learn a lot about car collecting by your watch collection.
Yeah.
If you get a box where you have your watches lined up, and then you start to curate them, it's exactly the same muscles that you use when you're collecting cars.
100%.
You learn about things that you like versus things that you don't like. You know, I collect this type of car, but I want to have maybe one or two of these. And then you have a bunch of watches, the same thing, and you go, well, the watches, you see it a little quicker because you go, I never wear these things.
Yeah.
These five dumb watches that I bought that aren't the things I really like have to go. I just did this the other day.
You told me you got rid of a bunch.
My wife was running the school gala auction-y thing. She goes, you got anything? I go, yep. And I opened up a box and gave her five watches. And then I threw up, gave a couple to Ben Clymer to sell on Hodinkee. My Mathé Tissot soccer timer's up there. This beautiful.
What the fuck is a soccer timer?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I liked it because I thought it was a 70s dive watch, and it turns out it's a soccer timer. It's not.
Does it say soccer timer on it?
No, it's not. And it's beautiful, and it's got a gray dial with white subdials. It's a really beautiful watch, and someone should buy it. And then I threw up another one on eBay, and I got rid of them. And the second everything was gone, it really focused in my collection. And
I'm worried I could end up down the too many watches collection. I'm trying not to.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to...
It's crow behavior. I talk about this. You have to know that you're a crow that wants shiny things, and you fly them up to the nest, and then you go back for more shiny things, but you end up with a nest of silverware, right? You got to keep a lid on it and really be honest about what you're going to wear or not.
Well, the only reason we bring it up, and then we'll move on from watches, because I don't want to turn into the watch podcast, because we've really gone too far down.
Because you can't test drive watches.
Can't test drive. But I have really wanted an Omega.
Right.
But I haven't. Everyone says you got to get a Speedmaster. But I don't like any of the Speedmasters except the one I saw that was insanely expensive that I could never see myself buying.
Right.
But I found a Seamaster Planet Ocean with an orange bezel and orange hands. And I love the look of it. I just love the color. And I found it from our friend at Bob's Watches
at a wonderful price. Yes.
Below market price.
Mm-hmm.
And you said...
I have a watch of his that I love, GMT.
But you said, don't buy it.
Yes.
Why shouldn't I buy it?
Run out of the store.
Why shouldn't I buy it?
Because I was flash-forwarding 2 years from now when you would hate that watch. I know you sent me a picture of the watch, and I've had the exact same feelings about it.
About the same watch?
When it came out, when it first came out. It's beautiful. And you see it in a magazine and a glossy page, and you go, oh my God, I need this. You don't. You don't need this. The brain is a dumb computer.
Really? In person, is it not all that?
You put something in front of it, and it desires it, right?
Yeah.
And the colors of that watch and that dial really light you up. But when novelty wears off in a couple of weeks, you feel taken.
Really?
I'm a fan of Omegas. I like vintage Omegas. I have a Speedmaster. But that watch in particular is for a specific guy, and you're not that guy.
It's almost as if a group of people sat down and specifically designed pages in books to attract rich guys to buy watches. I wonder.
It's not a rich guy watch. That's a very affordable watch.
Great watch.
Right.
But I don't...
It's just not for you.
Okay.
That's for some guy, I don't know, living in Illinois who's got an insurance company, and he wants to feel cool.
Like, you know what was it?
It's
like an Omega Seamaster Planet Ocean
chronograph.
It's a very pretty watch. Look, I haven't seen it in person. I've only ever seen a picture of it.
It's like Lambo orange.
Dude, look at all of their stuff. It's beautiful. It's all beautiful. Mm. And that's the problem with it, in my opinion.
This is a picture.
Too many
of it.
Pretty things.
Like, I get your point, Spike.
Like, if that was their only watch that they were rolling out, their only new model like that once a year, but there are 50 other ones in different configurations that all look beautiful.
That's kind of my issue with Omega in general, is I can't really tell the difference between any of them.
Whereas Rolex rolls out the new Daytona. It's the first one in many, many years. And here you've got two choices, white or black dial.
Yeah.
And there's nothing else like it in their lineup. That's their mistake.
You just want a Omega, and that one popped up, and you know the guy.
Honestly, I like the color. I love the fucking color.
You know who Ben Clymer is at Hodinkee, right?
I've never met them, but I know who he is.
It's one of his top 10 commandments of watches, that everyone should own a Speedmaster.
Yeah, I know, but I don't like any of the Speedmasters.
Wait, what do you mean any of them? There's only one. The black and white one. That's the only one you want. That's
like
it.
That
none of the variations on it. And they make them every year, and you can find them going back to the 60s, right?
When I look at Speedmasters, there's like 2,500, 25,000. I don't understand.
Trust me that you're wrong. And let's move on to cars, but trust me that you're wrong. You'll love it.
I guess I'll pass on it. Fine. Trust me on that one.
Yeah, you.
I don't need it. You're right.
I'm not going to think well of you if I see you wearing.
See, he likes the shiny things. I like the very, very, the very plain German ones.
Mm-hmm.
Your good tags and like just a nice simple brawn design.
Right.
Stuff like that. Sin? Very, very simple.
Yes.
You would like a Seiko. A Grand Seiko would be perfect for you.
Yeah.
Seikos are cool, too.
I started buying watches several years ago, and I stopped doing it. I'm like, I don't need to do this.
It's one of those places where you can go crazy. If you like electric guitars, motorcycles, watches, if you choose to get involved with this stuff, you're going to lose all your money.
Yeah.
So with us, it's cars, and it should probably stop just there, right?
Because they're just, it's easy to... You don't have to fucking pay insurance and storage and maintenance. And it's way easier.
Yeah, but it's something I think that is just instinctual in us. My 9-year-old came running up the stairs this afternoon and went, "Look at these football cards." And just like in an instant, he goes, "I need an album.
Yeah.
And I need the thing so I can line them up." And he's never been that kind of kid before.
Well, he's your kid now.
Yeah. I just think that's people. That's guys in particular. They like to collect things.
Yeah, I like gadgets and shit. I mean, at one point, I had a dozen electric guitars. I managed to do
that. Well, that's an easy one.
It's a really easy one. Mm-hmm. And guitars are, if you're into guitar, my friend Jack Baruth, Road and Track, has 100 fucking guitars.
Can you imagine that yard sale?
And his collection is unbelievable because the man has taste, and he's got every great guitar you could ever fucking imagine.
Mm-hmm.
He's offered to send me guitars. Just sit here. You want this for a year? Fucking take it. Play it. I don't know why I said no,
I'll say yes.
I really should have.
He's offered
to send me guitars just because he's out of space and wants something to do with them.
Right.
I have a Lexus. That's what I do. I would do with that. Take it. It's my Jerry. Take it.
Take the guitar. Please.
He did that with you with a fucking German Beetle.
I wanted that.
The Beetle police car.
He's
which
so
is hilarious.
Funny. He goes through phases where he buys Volkswagens. And it's because I've known Jerry now since 1995, so I've seen these cycles. Like, I could graph them right now.
The Fiat moon phases?
It's Porsche, 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 and then it's the graph starts to go down, and then there are a couple little bumps. There's a Volkswagen bump and a Fiat bump that go like this. And then, at those moments, too, I would draw a line from there to 12 months later when he begs one of us to please take these off his hands. I don't want this. I don't even know why I bought it. Please just take it. Please get it out of here. Just give me $5,000 for it. You can have it. So he just bought a new Volkswagen Beetle, which he was telling us about on the podcast. And I was just laughing. He's like, "What are you laughing at?" I go, "Well, I'm gonna own that car in a month." and you're telling me how much you paid for it and how excited you are, but I know you're never gonna drive it, and one of us is gonna get it. One of us will be the beneficiaries.
Then
that's the Volkswagen German police car.
Yeah,
yeah.
That I mean, if you're gonna have a Beetle.
Yes.
That's the one. Though.
I had, the last time I drove it, I had the most wonderful drive in the world. There are two things you need for it. You need the Beatles, you need a Sunday, and you need a warm day. But I was warming it up in the driveway My kids were on a play date in the front yard, and a fire truck came up the street, and they stopped because they saw it. It's got the sirens and the lights and the whole deal. It served in Würzburg, Germany from 79, I think, to 91. So it's a real 91. Police car with a Telefunken radio in it, and a PA. It always makes people laugh.
That is it.
There it is, right there.
This is the least.
That's a version of. If you type it's the one in the upper right corner there in my hangar.
It's the white
one. Yeah,
the white
right
that one. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And it's functioning siren. I installed the seatbelts in the back myself, which was really easy. So now the kid, when we have a birthday party in the neighborhood, I put the whole family in it.
You're like the clown car guy.
Yeah, and I can blow the siren in the driveway. But the fire truck stops and the firemen get out and we go, we've been wanting to see this car. We've seen it in your driveway. And it's just been an hour with them talking about it and laughing about it. And then I drove it out to Bill's. And the whole way there, it's just people cracking up
at how stupid a
police car this is. It makes people happy. So I'm getting good use out of it. But if I did not have any kids, it'd be over.
Right.
Yeah. I'll be selling it to the next guy for $5,000.
I just tested it at GridLife, a 1968 Volvo Amazon track car.
Oh, yeah?
Guy took one of these, turned it into a fucking race car. And he can wheel it, too. It's not bad. A little sketchy to drive, if I'm honest. A little sketchy. Rear traction at the rear is still not a premium. But just rolling through the paddock on and off the track, the love I got for this dumb thing doing a dumb thing.
That's great.
Worth, totally worth it.
There is something to that. I always like to say I'm not really in it for the attention, and I'm not, but when it tickles someone and it makes them happy or it gives them a smile for a few minutes, I like that.
There's a difference between the attention and the joy.
Attention.
It's like when I had the DeLorean, too. Yeah. Like, when you're driving a DeLorean, I like to drive a Ferrari Enzo up the street versus to drive a DeLorean. It's a non-pretentious, fun thing.
It's like admiration versus attention.
It's like, I understand you, because that's fun, not you rich shitbag.
And in the grid life, like time attack, everything is so serious. And the cars, people that can afford a modern car have one. Mm-hmm. And everything's got like crazy canards if they're in that class or whatever. And then here comes along this like nicely rounded coupe from a different era with a modern engine in it. But it's just like, oh, yeah, good for you for having a little bit of fun and not trying to win because you're not going to, but, having a bit of fun.
What does winning at Grid Life get you?
Well, no, this is like a big time attack event. So
there's some pretty serious people there.
Yeah.
Winning at anything hardware is good.
Yeah.
Right?
If you're into racing, winning does count for us.
If I'm not trying to make money on it, I don't care if I win.
I see that perspective as well, but you're not a racer, and some of these racers go to great lengths to win no money. That little shitty plastic trophy is really enough.
It means you built a good car, and it means you're a good driver in that crowd.
We saw fucking Acura Integra shatter the track record. It was unreal to watch this guy drive this. He had sponsors, but home-built Acura Integra.
Fully caged out and everything?
Oh, yeah. And he had the track record at last year's Grid Life by 4 seconds, and he beat that time by 4 seconds. How long 4 seconds is on a 2.2-mile racetrack? That's insane. Yeah.
And there's hardware out there. There's an 800-horsepower GTR. There's, serious downforce race cars. So it's not like, this adorable Integra beat a bunch of whatevers. Like,
no, there's real cars out there.
What's the biggest straight on that track?
Not very long.
Okay, well, that would make
maybe
sense.
The biggest straight is, I don't even think it's half a mile. In the M3, I saw 130 in it once.
Yeah.
And then most times I saw about 122 to 125 on that straightaway. And in other cars, like slower cars I drove, we're talking maybe 110 or 150.
Yeah, so he could do 110 on that back, but make it all up.
Oh, he was going faster than 110,
I assure.
It was a 600 horsepower Integra.
600 horsepower in the front?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
This is unlimited time attack, so this isn't like...
These are real deal cars, man.
Shit.
Yeah. This car would run for about 2 laps at a time and then eat its gearbox.
There's some serious maintenance going on in the pits at times.
Yeah, it was crazy. Let's go to, we got a lot of questions on Facebook. We put up you would be here. So we have a lot, we got a bunch of questions.
Indeed, we do. What do you think is more thrilling, going really fast in a car or going really fast in a boat?
Have you been on fast boats, Spike?
Yeah, I have.
What's the fastest you think you've been on a boat?
Hmm. boy, I'm trying to think if I've ever been in a cigarette boat. I haven't really gone, I guess, I've gone full throttle on a lot of speedboats. I mean, I grew up in Cape Cod, kind of Massachusetts, mm-hmm. but I don't find that thrilling.
Just scary?
Wave runners in Idaho. We go to Idaho Ooh. Every summer. We get on these wave runners that are like motorcycles on the water that really go fast.
Yeah,
yeah, know, those 200-300 horsepower wave runners are fucking crazy.
That I like. That's pretty thrilling. But at the same time, going 100 in my 58 Speedster with a Wilhoit motor,
also
that's
thrilling.
Also thrilling. But the thrill, you know, thrill turns into terror, right? There's a
pretty fine
that,
line.
Don't you find that as you're accelerating, you're getting to a top speed, this is cool, this is cool, this yes. is starting to be scary, starting to be scary. Yeah. I know in my Speedster, I start to think, what are the things that can go wrong right now that are going to suddenly, a wheel's going to fall mm-hmm. off this car and it's going to catapult me and this is how I'm going to die. So
I have a thing where, again, where the thing is moving faster than you think your yeah. body can react to.
Thrilling, the most thrilling drives I've ever had are in the passenger seat. Like being taken around.
Like this, with like this, Walter Roll or whatever?
Yeah, Walter Roll at an airport in Berlin in the new Carrera GT in 2004. And things that, you know, even when you and I did, you and I drove together.
An Esquire thing?
Yeah, for the Esquire thing. We did Vickers. The best car. Vickers. Like when you're with a guy who knows what they're doing, that's thrilling to me because I feel safe that I'm not going to hurt myself and I'm going faster than I normally would.
Yeah.
When I rode in that, what was it, S&T stock car at the Bondurant, like NASCAR school, this guy
like a road course prep at NASCAR.
Guy, former driver, now instructor. Last name is Cook. He took me for a ride, and that's the most adrenaline I've ever had, and it lasted for like 6 hours.
Yeah. Well, I did that ride along with Mario Andretti at the Long
Beach
Grand Prix last year.
Oh, he did the
two-seater
IndyCar. Yeah,
yeah, where you're sitting behind. I went eighth. He told me, I want you to go eighth because the tires will be hot, and he lit it up. And it, you know, your field of vision, you can't really see anything other than the back of his helmet and then the mirrors and what's going past you. And I felt pretty high when I got out of that car. I was surprised at how high.
Your eyes were like open really wide, and you're trying to find someone else who's also feeling that. Like, no one here feels like this.
No,
oh God,
it's drugs for yes. sure. It's the most drugged I've felt that wasn't drugs.
I've had a few of those in cars driving. I mean, I can remain remarkably calm riding right seat with a very good pro. In the rain with Lee Kina, that was terror. That mm-hmm. was, he's going to be fine right until he isn't, and we're going to stuff this
That's
fucking
fear,
car.
Right.
That was fear. But last week, I went to North Carolina to test some speedboats. I'm doing some boat video reviews now.
I'm sure your fans are thrilled.
This is how I need this. You don't understand. I'm bored of fucking cars. I need watches. Wow. I need boats. I need other things in my life.
I understand. And, but maybe the people listening don't need that.
I don't give a shit. The show's free,
maybe
Spike.
Maybe we would rather hear you talk about cars
The show is free, Spike. That's it's free. They don't have to. We're going to find out.
My time is
people
free.
Seem to like the boat thing. So we did,
I like boats.
Donzi 22.
Okay.
Which I'm sure you're familiar with Donzi boats
nope.
in some level,
these
right?
You've heard hull of it. Things, these beautiful.
Not wooden hull, fiberglass hull, but think of a. Imagine you're a 58 Speedster.
Right.
Okay. With the engine out of that 911 GTS in it.
Right.
That's what a Donzi is today. Wow. The hull design has not fucking changed,
mm-hmm.
but it's got since 1972 or whatever. It's the original go fast boat from the 70s. Hull design is the same. Interior is the same, okay? Paint schemes are the same, but it's got a brand new fucking 400 horsepower mm-hmm. Chevy motor in the LS motor in the back of it. 65 miles an hour on water in a 22 foot boat mm-hmm. is fucking terrifying. Mm-hmm. So I have a video of that. That's real scary. Because it doesn't.
Is there any video of you water skiing behind it?
No, I wish.
I would
really
like to
short
see that.
Shorts. I suppose too fast to water ski behind. The speeds on a boat are real serious. 65 on a boat is fast.
It is. I always just worry about chop and getting air under, yeah. You know, that stuff. Stuff I don't know about and don't care to know about. You know
Depends
what I mean?
Depends highly on the boat, dude. Same day, 38-foot fountain, 1,000-horsepower
mm-hmm.
boat. Did 75 miles an hour like it was nothing. Wow. And talking relaxed, having a conversation,
right.
one hand on the wheel, looking around, no big deal. To get out of that and get in this Donzi where it's, you feel like you'd fucking die.
Right.
Highly contextual. You know, you get in a Bentley Super Sports or something, mm-hmm. you could do 150 real easy versus your, you know.
Are you going to do that around here, though?
The boats?
Yeah.
This was in North Carolina.
Right.
I am doing a couple out of Marina Del Rey. Yeah, a couple boats.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's just change it up. I'm not, like, giving up on cars. You just need a little variety in life. That's all.
Yeah, I hear you.
I also said I would never do Subarus again, and I did two of them the past weekend. So
that was an interesting car.
They were good. They were both great, though. They were both very good. What else you got? Questions?
New 991 GT3 Ooh. Or GTS for road use with no great driving roads near you.
Well, GT3, right? I would say that, boy, by the way, the GTS is probably the car for this guy.
It's probably the car for this guy.
That's the car for you, yeah. That's perfect. If you're not going to do any racing, you don't need the wing.
And I'd recommend save a bundle of cash.
No save a bundle of cash, and the car is wonderfully fast.
And if the roads are bumpy, the GTS does ride a bit better.
Yeah. Now, I was thrilled with that car. Just get a manual transmission. You'll have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Do you think manual transmission SC300s will appreciate?
Manual transmission.
Lexus SC300s? Yes, but not. It's not like all of a sudden someone's going to decide. Like,
it's not going to be like the Supra.
No, like you're talking about a car that's $5,000 now that might be worth $7,000 or $8,000 down the road. Right. Same thing. Zach and I had some people come up to us.
This is great.
Zach and I had some people come up to us in South Haven, Michigan, where we were for Grid Life. And they were not there for the event, but they were local BMW enthusiasts. They said, I saw your review on the E36 M3, which is the 1992 to 98 M3. And me and my friends all bought them as investments. Do you think they're going to go up? There were three of them.
Same color.
Really? They all got silver E36 M3s. And I was like, these are cars you buy for $8,000. And when there's none left, that'll be worth $12,000. They're not going to be the next 930 turbos.
Well, they're not anywhere near as well built as the E30s were.
Exactly. They were like, why did the E30 go up? But the E36, it's like, because that's a homologation race
car. They just wanted to hear
car.
You say yes so they could sleep at night.
I can't bring myself to do it.
that's all they want.
These guys did, because your assessment is totally correct. The build quality is not there. The speed's not there. You got better options on either side with the E30 right. or E30.
And the
or,
European or, ones were E46. Miles better.
Right. And then when I was shopping for cars, I found a guy in town who was selling an Estoril blue coupe, black interior, 75,000 miles, like 200 car, super clean, and he wanted like 15 and a half. These guys bought, what was it, like 105,000 miles,
130,000 mile cars.
You know, Midwest cars where they put salts on the road. Like right. All the recipes were wrong, even as an investment car, and you have to have a unicorn for those things to really go up.
Yeah. Nope. To bring that back to the question, SC300s may go up incrementally. I would not buy one as an investment car.
No.
There's almost nothing you can buy that's that cheap right now that is really a true investment car.
We were talking about this yesterday. Who knows what's really going on with the market right now? The car market is
Porsches are flattening a bit,
weird
right?
Weird place. Well, production cars are flattening, I hear. And then well, you
yeah,
hear
because
that
we went
stuff selling.
Crazy with the subprime auto lending and all that's kind of coming to an end now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everything's going to cool off a little bit there, you know, from there to on. Because
there was just some very optimistic Ferrari auction that they tanked had a bunch of no sales, right?
There was?
Yeah, it was over in Europe. Someone sent me an article on it. There was a couple, a LaFerrari and an F40 and whatever.
Well, there are a lot of guys still thinking that these are old prices, that, you know, if my car is different and I can sell it for this number because some other guy did 3 years ago, four years ago, and they're seeing no. You can't.
I mean, you hold on to it for long enough, you probably can, but that's...
I hear if you have the best... If you have a production car, you know, like something like... Even like a Dino, you better have the best one.
Yeah.
That's still selling in the one-of-a-kinds or the one-of-fives. Those are still doing really well. But you got to have quality stuff. People are smart now. They're better educated about stuff.
The one car that I was actually thinking about the other day that may be a collector's thing 20 years from now, the Alfa 4C, just because it's such a weird little one-off thing.
Could be. Pretty. Maybe
I think that's like the next Dino.
Almost anything over time. Yeah. Over time, people will forget what a piece of shit the car is if it's pretty enough.
Well, the Dino wasn't loved when it was new. I mean, sure. I think the 4C is going to have the same thing.
Yeah,
just a Dino charge
like that though. That goes up and down. Like Jerry's.
Do you see the story about the Dino crash?
No.
A woman and a guy in Ibiza, they had flown there in a jet and partying whatever. But it's his car, black Dino. They tagged someone and then tried to run. No, I'm sorry. They hit a dump truck and like
in a Dino
and fucked it up. Yeah. And then they tried to flee, and they got arrested on the airport tarmac, like walking to their private jet for like a hit and run. And big surprise, she had cocaine in her system. They found
most white guy strange. Crime ever.
You know, Zuckerman was in an accident. Our mutual friend,
really?
In his 58 Speedster.
No way,
the black one.
He's okay, right?
He's fine. If there's ever someone who should be in an accident, it's a personal injury attorney. I mean, he can handle the whole situation right there in the spot.
Who's paying for that?
He drives his cars. You can go to my Instagram and you'll see this black Speedster there. It's gorgeous. Beautiful, beautiful car. Somebody just did a U-turn right in front of him.
Really?
In Hollywood, driving on a Tuesday, I think, last week at 4 o'clock.
And he was not hurt?
He was only going 25 or 30 miles an hour. And this guy, I think it was a minivan, and his girlfriend, and a bunch of rescue cats. Just like 10 rescue cats in the minivan.
I just have this image of just cats scattering.
Oh, my God.
Turned right. You know, they couldn't see the car coming, so they just went to do a U-turn.
God.
And he just broadsided them in a, you know, perfect black with Rudge knockoff wheels.
And he's fine.
Speedster. He's fine.
How the van will never car? Smell the same.
The front end of the car is messed up. But, you know, these Speedsters are pretty simple to fix. I mean, my silver car, when we took it down to the metal, it had scars. There were 3 or 4 accidents that it had been in. But I said, what happens to you with lap belts in a Speedster when you get hit?
You shit your pants.
Yeah, at 25 miles an hour. He said he thinks he got down to 15 or 20. But your thorax just goes right into the steering wheel.
Oh, my
you just
God.
Go, boom, a big wood steering wheel, and your head gets bounced around.
It's probably got some nice bruising, too.
Oh, the whole thing
lucky
is,
only have that.
Is off. This is his
got
second...
A nardy-shaped bruise on his
by
chest.
By the way, his second 356 crash in Hollywood. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago, he got hit really badly up by the Beverly Center. Someone turned in front of him, and he hit him at 40.
Oh.
And the car collapsed on him like a Coke can, and they had to use the jaws of life to peel
really?
Him out of it. Yeah. Got a little scar on the side of his head. But
that's crazy.
He's still doing it. He's still driving the cars.
Oh my God.
But crazy, right?
Yeah. That's the one thing I always think about the danger of racetracks and whatever.
Right.
The one thing I don't think about is when I'm driving something really old, what happens
I do.
If I fucking crash.
When I'm in my Speedster, an old thing, I'm like, I'm on a motorcycle right now, and I really have to have my eyes and ears open. In this case, we were like, you sure you weren't on the phone, dude?
Yeah.
Like, no, he wasn't on. This guy just turned in front of him out of nowhere, but scary. Yeah.
Got a couple more before we get out of here? What else
you
got?
Would you rather buy a low-mileage 135i or a 228 priced similarly?
228.
Ooh.
Series is just a nicer car.
It is a much nicer car and a better-looking car.
228 has great steering.
Question is he looking to modify it or just drive it as it is?
Also a good question. I didn't love the 228 steering. Well, the M2 is so much better. That's
the
problem.
M2 is the shit.
Even the M235i we drove was like, the steering was kind of funky. And
the 228 has much better steering than the 235.
Does it?
A lot lighter in the front end.
Okay, I've never driven
good.
That car. Last 20 I drove was a 328 Jalopnik edition.
Oh, no, the 228 is great.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any fond memories from Seinfeld to tell the people? Pick one.
Fond
no!
Memories? No, nothing really happened there that I can remember. There were funny things always going on with the writers. I remember George Segal, the actor. Look him up. He's an older guy. I remember seeing him on the Mike Douglas show and stuff. But he was on some show across the way, but he would come over to the Seinfeld offices to take dumps in our bathroom. And we started noticing that. And after we noticed it, we talked about, well, how are we going to handle this? And by the way, this isn't Jerry. He didn't even know about it, but the rest of the writers did. So we went down to his favorite stall and wrote, George Segal, use your own fucking bathroom to take a shit. I don't know. That always made me laugh.
That's pretty good.
I like George Segal. I remember seeing him on The Tonight Show playing clarinet and going, why are we doing this to that guy? I understand George Segal. I'm at an age where, like, oh, I get it. He doesn't know any of us. That's why he's coming over there to take his shit. He wanted to get away from his show. I get it.
It's funny. We'll finish with, ZL1 question. This guy thinks they hit all the targets with this car, the ultimate all-rounder for strip, street, and track, but he feels like there's some zip missing from the experience as a whole. Like tingle up your spine, which you talked about.
Yeah. Okay. First off, I do not think it's ultimate street strip and track. Is definitely ultimate track, or it's up there. It's really, really fast, insanely fast, 650 horsepower. You know, monster brakes, multi-matic spool valve shocks, which are like the
and
crazy.
This guy's complaining about it.
No. What he's saying is that they tried to hit every target. I think it's not the ultimate street car because it's very stiff and hurt my back after a while, and the seats aren't all that comfortable. But he's saying it doesn't make you fizzy. You know what I mean? It hits. GM is very good at this. The numbers, you know, it's the fastest, it's the highest G, it's the shortest braking distance, but it doesn't have a level of excitement that mm-hmm. makes you fizzy the same way a GT3 does or something like that.
Right.
Or the Shelby GT350R, which where you get that fizziness is from it's the engine. It's the sound and the way it revs and how fast it spins up or comes down and the cracks of the gearbox and whatever. And that's what you get with any Chevy V8 car is they have this highly functional, highly potent engine that makes a ton of power, a wide torque, but it's not necessarily fun to rev up or down. You don't rev it just to hear it. It doesn't have that really special feeling, whereas the Shelby feels very special to drive, and you can tell when you hear it. It's the sound, you know?
I will say there's a big difference between like the LS7 and the LS3 and the
no, there's not.
LT1.
No, there's not.
It revs different than the
they
other
sound
ones
the fucking same.
And yeah, they sound
none of
the same.
And none of them sound particularly good.
Do you think it's just a saturation thing? Like, we see LSs in so many things now that it's just like, you know, it might have been special to us 20 years ago, and now it's like it's in everything. So we're so familiar with the sound and the cadence.
I just think it doesn't have like a musical tone to it, like a GT3 or a Ferrari or the Shelby or whatever has like a musical mm-hmm. tone. And the GM engines, they just don't have that.
Well, and the ZL1's not going to be their top of the line car either. They've still got one more model to go.
It'll sound exactly the same.
No, I know it will, but I'm just saying in terms of the driving engagement and things like that on the track. They've got another level to go still. And I'm not saying it's going to be special, but
they can make it faster. I don't think there's a Z28. They implied that there was not.
Did they?
Yes. The engineers who were there with us implied that this was the end of the top that Camaro gets. But, and it's fucking fast. I mean, 650, this is a really, really, really fast mm-hmm. car. You know, and it stops really good, and it turns really good, and it's got great balance, and you can slide it good.
And it doesn't overheat.
It will not overheat. We beat the shit out of it all day, and the performance traction management is incredible. It's very, very advanced. But I returned it at the airport, got on a flight, flew to Detroit, got in a standard M3, and went, you know what I mean? And I had more fun in this slower mm-hmm. M3 on the track than I had in this Camaro, which can run like a fucking 720 around the Nürburgring. Just me. Mm-hmm. Just me.
Can the Dodge Demon really do wheelies?
Yes.
And how is that going to be useful on roads?
Bro, wait till you see the videos of it leaving Cars and Coffee.
Really? I know. That's new crash car, not the Mustang anymore?
It's going to be fun. That's a drag car. It's a drag car.
Yeah.
Go to fucking Detroit. People still want drag cars. LA, it seems silly. People want drag cars in Detroit or in middle America.
I feel like they're going to make enough of them to fill the market of people that go drag racing a lot and have money and want
will
that.
Spend $100K.
You know, they don't need to sell 50,000.
There are that many people
things.
Drag racing still.
Oh yeah,
now?
Oh yeah.
They're more this than isn't going to be the CA agent who buys his Dodge Demon.
Oh,
and goes watch
that.
This.
It's going
to
be that. Too.
What does the cop say to you? When you're on Sunset Boulevard at a light wheelie. In Beverly Hills and you do a wheelie, what does he say to you?
Can I get a ride? I had.
I'm asking you a serious question. Is a wheelie legal?
No. Technically, unsafe start, it's
or
called.
Exhibition of
or
speed.
Or exhibition of speed.
I know exhibition of speed, but you're not really moving.
I don't think you're doing a wheelie either unless you're on a VHT prepped surface.
Yeah. Which they do have in Los Angeles.
The glue they spray down.
Oh, yeah.
For drag racing.
So you can't do the wheelie on a normal street.
No, streets are not good enough traction.
I think you have to put slicks on it and be on VHT, I think.
But you could.
We could probably get one as a press car.
We know a street in LA that has VHT spray down it.
If you get one, we can figure out how to do wheelies around LA. I want in.
There is a street in LA that has
VHT. You probably have to be on the 100-octane tune as well.
What street has glue all over it?
They race. There's this street racing like guys that they race up in the fucking valley. And if you Google Maps, they're it's really funny. Can you pull it up?
I think it's East of Inglewood, actually.
Is it 135th and Main?
It sure is.
I think it's 100. You got Zach will pull up for you the
I've been to
the
this
Google
place.
Satellite images of 135th and Main.
Within
it's
10
really
minutes of being
funny.
There, someone demonstrated a gun to someone else behind a building and fired it a couple times.
That's called brandishing.
So we went to another spot and we just followed street racing.
And they're spraying glue on the street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's all totally
there's
above
a,
board,
there's
right?
a really hilarious the people who do that, the guy that's the Instagram account that started the whole Mustang thing. The whole Mustangs hitting crowds was
really?
Started by the Instagram account
He's
that covers the street races. Just look at the satellite view of one.
These two big black
135th and Main in LA is
That's really cool.
I wonder
That's
if they
really
race
funny.
There.
That's its own little Jalopnik piece. You should
so
send that to them.
Funny.
With a little arrow and say, this is a little story for you.
I went to one of these races Torchinsky. And then I was going to shoot a video for Drive, like a story about it, because it was a huge thing. All the Instagram started blowing up with these street racing people in LA. So I go out one night with cameras and go to this place and another one. And it happened to be the same night that the three law enforcement agencies of Los Angeles cracked down on these people.
Uh-huh.
So it was like sheriff, LAPD, and helicopter squad just going from spot to spot, just corralling people like cattle, arresting people. And then the cars would run, and I would look on Instagram, and they're like, now we're going here. And I would follow them in my Crown Vic looking like an undercover cop and show up. And the people would run and do donuts, and then the fucking helicopters would show up again, and then they'd run to the next spot.
Wow.
They did it till 2 in the morning.
Are you doing anything wrong watching a bystander? Can you get arrested for just watching illegal racing?
You can in California. If someone gets hit by a car and killed, bystanders can be charged, I think, with like – was it not a felony or a misdemeanor?
Accessory, something
it's,
or other.
It's pretty bad really? Here because some mayor's daughter years ago got hit. And it became, you know, it was like, all right, now we're cracking down on this
I
shit.
Don't I think that's, you get any kind of decent attorney and you're probably getting out of that one. But
most of the
He's
people
so
there,
useful, Zuckerman.
You know, they can't afford a, like a high-end attorney. Like
no.
That,
yeah.
Sure.
No.
It's pretty shady, man.
It's not a good idea.
It's pretty shady.
It's not a good idea.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming. No.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. Spike's Car Radio.
Spike's Car Radio.
Spike's Car Radio.
Podcast1.com.
And
this Wednesday,
Apple
June 14th.
That's
Apple
the that
podcast.
Is probably the day
that's
this show will go
one.
Up today.
Yeah, and I'll have I should have some good car matchmaker news too.
When can I come on your show? Come on Spike's Car Radio.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about it.
All right.
I don't want to have you on a guest. I want you on as a recurring.
Oh,
guy.
A recurring.
Just,
okay.
Yeah. In I fact, can, maybe like, just you and I just doing shows without guests.
Who's like Conan's guy? Who's Conan's guy? What's that guy's name? I can't remember.
Andy Richter.
Andy Richter.
No,
yeah.
It wouldn't be a sidekick. It's not a sidekick deal. Sidekick deal because I think you know in the beginning we're having a lot of people who might not be car people on.
That's
do you know what
idea.
I'm saying?
Yeah, it's fine.
As it evolves, as we're figuring out what this is. Like you know, Hardwick likes cars, but he's a comedian, obviously. But he's got some car things to say. Piven had some car things to say, and then we talked about his new show on CBS
is
too.
The,
so.
Is the podcast one people that, are they booking guests for you?
No, I'm putting together. I'm doing the bookings right now. We're Dick Van Dyke wants to be on.
Awesome.
That would be cool, right?
Oh, he's so got to have
cool.
some stories.
See, you're a guy who's in both worlds, too. I know you love the entertainment comedy world as well.
I want to be on the shows with these cool celebrities.
Right.
I want to meet them.
Why come on by yourself and just us talk again? Why not me, you, and Dick Van Dyke?
Every celebrity I know in L.A. almost is because of you. Almost. The only one was Paul Walker, and that was because of Timmy.
So hard to capture the couch trip on radio, though.
Well, I completely understand the vibe of hanging at the porch at Bill's. Right. We were there last Sunday. Dempsey rolls up on a bicycle.
Patrick Dempsey.
Out of nowhere.
That's right. He's going to come on.
Dempsey rolls up out of nowhere on a bicycle. It was like,
hey, what's going on?
Yeah.
When are you racing again?
It's such a good scene.
He said he was done with racing,
he said he
right?
wasn't getting back in the car. He said only as a team owner.
Yeah.
As I left, I said, please get back in the car, Patrick. We'd like to see you back in the car.
No, that was cool.
And then he was like,
I like that.
He's like, I know you from somewhere, don't I? I was like, Drive on NBC Sports.
That's
he's like,
right.
Oh, yeah.
He said the Actually, same thing to me, that. And I said, yeah, my show, you were on it. What? I was? Yes.
That's fucking great, man. Thanks for coming by.
All right, man.
Appreciate you making it all the way down to the hood.
Of course.
Chris,
good to see you.
Like plug anything else? Spike Ferriston on Instagram?
Yeah, follow me on Instagram. That's where I have the most fun. The other things, I feel like Twitter's an obligation at this point.
And, of course, Malibu Kitchen and Gourmet. We say Bill's, but it's Malibu Kitchen and Gourmet in the Cross Creek Shopping Center in Malibu. They really do have the best fucking sandwiches.
Yeah, and everybody stops in when they're done carving canyons and the coolest things.
It's good. It's good. Thanks for coming.
The P1 designer was there.
Frank Stevenson just popping in.
And that crazy electric car. What's the Las Vegas? The Faraday stopped in. Yeah. They had that car there.
Yeah, they've been driving it around. I saw it at the HRE open house. They had the Faraday, and then they had the Lucid Air.
Right.
They had both of them. I was like, can you guys just fight each other right now? Can we deathmatch this or what? They said I could drive the Lucid Air, which apparently does 215 miles an hour, 217 miles an hour.
You got Richard Hammond.
Don't give it to Hammond. It's going to be a problem. I'm glad Hammond's okay. I love Richard Hammond.
I don't know, but I am happy.
Thanks for coming by, Spike. The Smoking Tire Podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. It's easy. All you need is a microphone, an internet connection, and something to say. And probably someone to listen to. That would help. See you guys later. Goodbye.